Hi, I'm Michael Senoff, founder and CEO of HardToFindSeminars.com. For the last 5 years, I've interviewed the world's best business and marketing minds. Along the way, I've created a successful publishing business all from home from my two-car garage. When my first child was born, he was very sick, and it was then that I knew I had to have a business that I could operate from home. Now my challenge is to build the world's largest free resource for online downloadable MP3 audio business interviews. I knew I needed a site that contained strategies, solutions, and inside angles to help you live better, to save and make more money, to stay healthier, and to get more out of life. I've learned a lot in the last 5 years, and today I'm going to show you the skills you need to survive. Hi, it's Michael Senoff with Michael Senoff's HardToFindSeminars.com. I've got another exciting interview with a publicity and media expert. The title of this interview is called How to Take Charge of Your Publicity and Sell Yourself to the Media. From the moment this interview starts, you'll understand why Jill Lublin is considered a publicity expert. She directs the structure of our interview before I even ask her the first question, and you're going to hear how. And Jill really knows what she's talking about. As the author of 3 books on publicity and networking, she's spoken around the world and has done countless TV and radio interviews. So in this interview, you're going to hear her tips and techniques for building the kind of publicity that will get you noticed, including how to develop a message, how to deliver that message, and how to make the most of the press coverage you get. Here are some of the key points you're going to learn in this interview. You're going to learn how to land TV and radio spots and ways to make the most of them. You're going to learn how to structure your message so that it's media-friendly and media-worthy. You'll learn examples of how Jill name-drops her products into every interview. You'll learn simple strategies that will get you ongoing recognition so you can capitalize on that I've heard of you somewhere factor. You'll learn all about Jill's book deals, how much she got paid, and how they made her career. You'll learn why you should always say yes when the media asks for an interview, even if you don't know a thing about the subject matter. You'll learn how to prepare a press release that won't end up in the recycling bin of your media contact. You'll learn internet tools for leveraging your publicity. And you'll learn the biggest mistake Jill's ever made in PR and how you can easily avoid making something similar. According to Jill, even if you've written a successful book, you can't rely on your publishers to promote it. So in this interview, you'll learn how to take charge of your publicity no matter what you're selling. Remember, you're the only one who's going to make sure your name gets out there and that it's spelled correctly when it does. I hope you enjoy the interview. Now, let's get going.
A couple questions for you, though, before we start officially.
Yes.
One is, which book do you want to focus in on?
What would you rather focus in on?
Well, if you can definitely highlight Get Noticed, but, you know, also give people great guerrilla publicity tips, that tends to work well.
Okay. I did get your book. Honestly, I didn't read through it. But is the Get Noticed all related to publicity and generating referrals through publicity?
Not exactly, but close enough.
Close enough?
You know, we might talk about what I call the Ten Commandments in business, et cetera.
Okay. We can talk about both.
That'd be great. That'd be great.
I'd like to talk a little bit about, you know, your publicity experience, how you got into that, and then we can talk about your books. You know, I'll ask you how many books you've done, and we can go into your Get Noticed books and go into some of your commandments. How about that?
Oh, perfect. And then also, I have us on for an hour. Is that good?
An hour. We can knock it out in an hour.
Okay, great. And then do you do a place where I can make an offer to your piece?
Yeah, sure. What we'll do at the end, I'll ask you if you have any special offers for my listeners at HardToFindSeminars.com, and you can make one, and we can direct them to a link.
Well, that's perfect. Thank you. I appreciate it.
See, you're a real professional, and your students need to model what you're doing. So why don't we talk about this? How does one prepare, just like you're preparing, I'm getting ready to interview you, but you're teaching a lot of your students to get free publicity or to be experts in giving publicity. So what are some of the things that are going on right now in your mind before we actually do the interview? And why don't you explain what you just did and reasons why?
I actually do it before every radio interview, too. You got it. No problem.
Go ahead. Tell me, what were some of these questions you asked? What would you tell your students to do, and what are the benefits of asking these questions, and why are they important?
Well, a couple different things. When you are preparing, whether it's to be an expert on a call, to be on a media interview, in fact, frankly, to meet with a client, but let's just focus right now on particularly media interviews or when you're preparing to be interviewed. It's very key that you check a number of things. Number one, Do the people know how to spell your name? That's always a good one, right? And how to pronounce your name. You know, my name's Jill Lublin. People say it wrong a lot of times. So I always make sure they know how to pronounce my name, that they actually are getting the spelling correct, and then I double-check that they have my website. So I was just on air for 3.5 minutes on a 50,000-watt station in Portland about an hour before this call, and the first thing I said to her was, let's go over the spelling of my name, and by the way, do you have my website, and could you spell that on air for me when you do JillLublin.com?
Was she prepared?
Most of the time I find the media people in particular either can't find my website right in front of them, don't know exactly where it is, oh, could you just give that to me again? See, they're going really, really fast. So you want to make things easy for people. I'm really big on that. And the way to make things easy for people is to give them simple ways to say your name, the link you have, spell out your website, give them information that you want them to say so that you're prepared and, frankly, they're prepared and everything goes smoothly.
Well, so with your radio stations, do you fax a bio sheet on you that they should have in front to be prepared for the interview?
Yes, absolutely. We get them what's called a backgrounder. It's basically my bio, and everybody should have a good bio. It's usually a paragraph. Don't make it 3 pages, 2 pages. Who has time? You got to remember, in today's world, faster and easier is better, and I like, I'll call it dumbing things down. I hate to say it that way, but let's say it that way, because I want things in 5-year-old language, and I find a lot of people want to give too much information, frankly, do too much to show people, you know, how great they are. It's enough already. Just give them one paragraph, make it simple, and make sure they know how to spell your name and spell your website. Then we're happy. Everything's easy from there, and then you're prepared and ready to be interviewed and to go and make things happen for your business.
Okay, so let's say you've done your job, and you've prepared them, you've sent your simple bio sheet, let's say, for instance, for easy mathematics, to 100 media personnel. In the real world, how many are going to have that in front of them, and how many of them are going to be prepared with the proper pronunciation of your name, proper spelling of your website in the real world?
Well, a couple different things. Most of them won't be, so that's the truth. You just got to know that it's your responsibility to make sure that the other person's prepared. It's not their responsibility. You know, I find a lot of my clients have gone in there and they go, oh, I hope they'll ask me what I call the next great question. The next great question is your responsibility. You're in charge of your message. You're in charge of your interview. It's really important that you get that. Because I think the quicker somebody gets that they're in charge of their interview, they're in charge of their message, then it gives them the power to know what the message is. And, you know, Michael, I'm really big on what I call it's all about your message. You see, most people think it's all about their business, their product, what they're selling. And everybody's selling something, so let's just get that over with. But realistically, what it's really about is what is your message? What is it that you'd like to say to people? And what is it that you want to connect so that people can understand how to do business with you? But I find, you know, most importantly, what you've got to do is give people value and benefit right away. Value and benefit. You know, so you notice right away in this interview, we're talking about be prepared. Make sure your website's out there. Make sure your name is pronounced correctly and spelled correctly, depending if you're on television. When I've been on television multiple times, I ask to see the screen that comes up. You know, oftentimes they'll put the screen up with your contact information. And also, when you're being interviewed, underneath your name, you get what's called a chyron, which is the identification of you. Okay, so on my chyron, I always like Jill Lublin, international speaker and best-selling author. And if they have room, I like them to put the book titles. Usually they don't have room. Sometimes they'll put one book title. And then, of course, you have to decide, right? What book are you promoting? So I have 4 books at this point. You've got to decide what you're promoting. It's really key to double-check everything. And I can't tell you how many times I've been in TV interviews. And frankly, what happens is they get the website misspelled, or maybe they misspell on my one book, Guerrilla Publicity, if they don't spell it properly. Whatever it is, there's always a little something. So I've learned to check, check, and double check. And then from the minute you get on the air, I mean, let's face it, most interviews are, well, the one I did this morning was 3.5 minutes. And I'm going to do one in 2 hours, and guess what? That's 4.5 minutes. Sometimes it's 1.5 to 2.5 minutes, particularly TV, which is frankly really quick.
You've got to really be succinct in what your message is going to be.
You bet.
I want to get to your message in a second. You also asked me, can I make an offer to your people? Tell me, why did you ask that, and why is that important for your students or my students to ask that?
Well, a couple things. Like I said, we're always promoting something. I obviously offer a crash course in publicity, and we can talk about that in a bit. But I want people who are listening here to be able to get more educated. I want to go more in depth with them. I want to make an offer that's great for your people that will save them money, as opposed to if they just called my office and bought it, because they're in your network. And I want to give them value and benefit just because they're part of your network.
So okay, your experience, let's say you ask TV and you ask radio, can I make an offer to your listeners? What's the general response? Do some say no, and what if they say no?
Well, a couple things. In media, it's not as good. I mean, when I'm being featured on a teleseminar, obviously I'm the featured expert, I can make an offer. When you're on TV and radio, you cannot typically make an exact offer per se, but what you can do is you say, hey, go to JillLublin.com. And of course, on your website, you need to have things that are downloadable and valuable. Like I have what I call a consumer awareness guide to publicity. That's free, right? You want to give away free reports. You want to have articles on your website. You want to drive traffic there so that people, when they go there, have actually something to look at that's valuable for them.
Okay. And also, what about with TV and radio? Do they allow you to give your link? Or if you ask that, do some of the media people say, no, you cannot give your website out during the interview?
There's very few that say no. You know, I do a lot of radio. I do two or three a day sometimes, and you're always allowed to give your website out. The only real exception seems to be the really big shows. But even then, if you watch the Today Show, you'll see they put the website of the guest. Oprah does not typically, but what they do is they put it on her website. So when you go to Oprah.com, for instance, you'll see the information of the guest. You'll always see contact information. So that's typically what happens. It happens that way.
So let me ask you, some of your TV and radio interviews are very short, between 2 and maybe 6 minutes, would you say, or 6 minutes pushing it?
6 minutes is pushing it. Most media interviews are on television 2.5 to 3 minutes, on radio maybe 3 to 5 minutes. I don't think I've gone over 5 minutes on any 50,000-watt station or big station across the nation, which is mostly what I'm on. The reality is most of these interviews aren't going over 5 minutes. Now, if you do non-commercial radio, which I actually also recommend, it tends to go a little longer. You can go 20 to 30 minutes. When you do internet radio, that tends to go longer, also up to an hour. But most interviews are very, very short.
Okay, so what is Jill Lublin's message? You have 2 to 3 minutes to get your core message out. What do you want the listeners to hear? And by using an example of your message, what advice can you give for anyone who wants to promote or get publicity or media attention, how they should structure their message?
Absolutely. Great. Okay, well, the thing I would say, for instance, when I'm being interviewed, I would say something like, you know, the problem today, because the issue is, and let me do a little teaching while I'm also sharing mine. In fact, let me do the teaching first.
Sure.
Because here's the thing. First, you got to identify what's the problem out there. See, as far as I see it, you're all experts listening to this. So when you're an expert, you solve problems. The question is, what's the problem out there? So that's the question I'm asking you. What's the problem out there? Now, I encourage my clients and those in my courses to start with a problem that has a statistic. In other words, give us a real reason why we need to pay attention. Obviously, hot topics right now are the politics and the economy. And let's face it, businesses are having a bit of problem. So you want to get right in there quickly with the issue called the problem. So, for instance, I would say, you know, the problem today is 4 out of 5 businesses will go out of business because they have no clue how to create publicity without spending a fortune. I'll give you another example that today I was talking about politics. Why? Because I am a branding expert. I've written 3 books about how to get noticed, about publicity, about how to network effectively, and it's all about getting noticed and branding. So I broadened my expertise to become a branding expert, and now it's hysterical to me because I'm talking about politics, and in fact was interviewed today about Saturday Night Live and the Sarah Palin skit, and is that how voters are branding their politicians? But you know what's interesting, Michael, is right after I answered the questions about comedy and, you know, is it good for politicians or is it bad for them, then what I did was I moved the message into business. And I said, you know, like politics, businesses have to get noticed. Now, you know what I also did? I just used the title of my book in that. Businesses have to get noticed. My book is Get Noticed, Get Referrals. You always want to put in the name of your business or your product or your service within the context of what and who you're talking to. That's very powerful.
Are you prepared? Do you have this scripted, and do you teach your students to have this scripted in front of them so they know exactly what's going to happen?
I teach my students to script everything, yes. I think it's really key. I think it's absolutely key because I think you need 3 points. So going back to what I started teaching is that first, you're an expert. Get that in your brain. You have an important message. Experts have messages and they solve problems. So then you have to identify the problem. What's the problem out there? Do it with statistics because the media loves statistics and they love to know how your message impacts and affects others. And then I want you to have three great messages to give to people. So those messages are your sound bites. I also want you to think of them as the solution. It's the solution to the problem.
You're listening to an exclusive interview found on Michael Senoff's hardtofindseminars.com. What are your three messages?
Oh, I thought you'd never ask. Okay. I would say something like, let's just start over. The problem today is 4 out of 5 businesses will go out of business because they have no clue how to create publicity without spending a fortune. I want to give you 3 guerrilla publicity tips that you can use today, right now, in your business. The first one is to create your ooh-ah factor. That is, find ways to get people going ooh and ah about you. What's the most unique, unusual things about you? The second way to get noticed is to create the I've heard of you somewhere syndrome. That is, have an announcement that you write. 4 sentences that appear in your local weekly business journal so that people hear about you on an ongoing basis. This creates credibility and visibility for you. And the third guerrilla publicity tip I want to share with you today is to create networking magic and show up in your community, I think at least 2 times a month, so that you create name and face recognition. Now, by the way, and that's a pause right there. What I did a couple things. Number one, I gave you actually a lot of tactics, even within my message, actual things to do. Sometimes, Michael, I include those, like in today's teleseminar, because frankly, you need tactical things for your listeners. But I often will leave them out because in radio, it might be too much information. So, you know, my 3 points might be create your ooh-ah factor. Another way to get noticed is to create the I've heard of you somewhere syndrome. And the third way is to create networking magic and show up in your communities 2 times a month. That would be my very fast message. Now, Michael, what else did I do in there? Can you guess?
You left the interviewer wondering, well, how can someone get more information?
Well, that's a great thing, and absolutely. I did one other wonderful thing, and that is, and I teach this to all the people that I work with, and that is I put the name of every single book I have right in there. I said, I'm going to give you 3 guerrilla publicity tips today. And one of those tips was, if you want to get noticed, that's the name of my last book, right? And my 3rd tip had to do with networking. And I said, if you'd like to create networking magic, you have to show up in your communities. Well, Networking Magic is the name of my 2nd book. Guerrilla Publicity is the name of my 1st book. And Get Noticed, Get Referrals is the name of my 3rd book. Every single book was put within the context of my message. And what I want your listeners to do, starting now, is to put the names of your company, put the names of your main message, your services, your products right within your speaking. And that means to your customers, to your prospects, when you're on air, always it's important to get your message out in the public eye, into the consciousness, and in an ongoing branding kind of way, keep repeating what your products and services are. Really key.
Let's say that no one knew the titles of your book, and you gave those 3 reasons, and you inserted the name of your 3 books in there, but they haven't made a connection that you have 3 books titled it. Where's the connection, and how does that benefit you?
That's a good question. Usually when I'm being introduced, people will say, Jill is the author of 3 books, Guerrilla Publicity, Get Noticed, Get Referrals, and Networking Magic. So they, the introducer and or the media host, meaning the host of the show, says it as they're introducing me.
I see.
They're always saying it, so what I'm doing is reinforcing
it. Yes, you're reinforcing, you're branding it.
Absolutely. And here's the thing, it's on a subconscious, I'm not, like, being pushy and overly aggressive with it. In fact, the funny thing is when I do my crash courses in publicity, what's so great about this, when I go through this exercise and actually have people really work on their own message, is most of the time people never even realize that I said the names of all three books within that message. But here's the cool thing. They heard it anyway. They got it anyway, whether they realized it or not. And that's my main point, is you're going to get it anyway. So how you put the message within the brain of the person so that they keep understanding and knowing that's your company. That's the power of publicity. And power of publicity is learning how to do this in a way that isn't obnoxious. I didn't say to you, by the way, you know, on page 85 of Guerrilla Publicity, you're going to read about my ooh-ah factor. No, but I said, I'm going to give you some great guerrilla publicity tips today. And so it just immediately gets into the brain. And I think that's really a key that one needs to do, is learn how to speak your message in a way that's not aggressive, but also to the point, in a focused, powerful way that gets people talking about you.
Right, that's good. Well, let me ask you, like a 50,000-watt station, approximately how many listeners are out there in a station that powerful?
Oh, boy, I wish I had that number off the top of my head. It's an Arbitron rating, and it's a little bit of a complicated question, but I know it's in the millions. Sorry, I can't answer that.
After you do an interview like that on radio, are you able to measure any kind of activity from that publicity?
You absolutely can. What will happen is your website will reflect the differences in, well, people come to your website. Sometimes I'll get a call, or somebody will have heard me in a local market, and then all of a sudden my phone will ring because they'll look me up on the web. They'll call my office. I get crash course people coming in because they heard me on the radio. Most importantly, what media does is it does create that I've heard of you somewhere syndrome. You see, Michael, I'm getting up at, you know, 5 o'clock in the morning, 5:30, because I live on the West Coast, and I'm doing East Coast radio interviews. You know, this morning I had one at 5:45. It's not my favorite time to get up, all right? Can we talk? It's really not. But do I do it because it's key for growing the credibility and visibility, for creating that I've heard of you somewhere syndrome? I mean, I walk my talk. I do what I tell people to do.
How many interviews are you doing a month, radio?
Since the book came out in June, I've been doing about 2 a day, and let's say, you know, when it's not as busy of a week, maybe 4 a week. I'm really big on, you know, every single day, I want people to be taking baby steps toward and in and regarding their publicity. I mean, I've got a book out right now, McGraw-Hill. That's a blessing to be able to put something out there with regard to a solid, you know, I have a book right now. That's great. But you know what? Most of my clients don't have books. Maybe they have a service or product. And what we are doing is small steps, baby steps. Every single day they have someone on the phone for them generating some kind of interest, or they do what's called an announcement. We can talk about that in a moment. That's a really simple strategy to create ongoing recognition. And so I'm on my 4th book right now, but I will tell you there have been, you know, let's say a year and a half span of time where guess what? There wasn't a book out, but do you know my commitment? First of all, is getting 15 media interviews every single month. 15 what I call exposures. So sometimes that exposure comes because I'm on an interview with you. Sometimes that exposure comes because I have an article that gets printed through ezinearticles.com. Big hint. That's a good one. Sometimes it comes because I showed up with an announcement in my local Chamber of Commerce where I live. Right? It can be small and big, but most importantly, what I feel strongly and passionate about, as you might be able to tell, is that you have to create the ongoing visibility, credibility, and name recognition so that people keep talking about you. And the way to do that is to keep your, well, toe in the water. Bottom line is keep your toe in the water, keep baby steps out there, keep creating and looking for ways so that your name appears, whether it's doing volunteer work, whether it's doing something at your local Chamber of Commerce, whether it's getting actual media interviews both nationally and locally.
Let's talk for 5 minutes about your four books. What was your very first book you did?
Very first one was called Guerrilla Publicity.
Now, was that a joint venture with J. Conrad Levinson?
Absolutely.
Did he approach you or you approach him?
I approached him, actually. What happened was, I know, his literary agent, and his literary agent had me speak numbers of times on the topic of publicity, which really is my strength. And one day, you know, the agent says to me, by the way, he had known me like 7 years already. I sometimes find that ironic because I think sometimes everything in life is a bit of timing. Kind of like, well, gosh, why didn't we do this earlier? But anyway, one day he said to me, Joe, why don't you write a book on publicity? And since he happened to be the agent for J. Conrad Levinson, he told me that he'd approach Jay with the idea. Jay loved the idea, and hence a book was born called Guerrilla Publicity.
I've interviewed Jay on my site, hardtofindseminars.com. I've got a great interview with him. So tell me about that book. When he co-authored it with you, and of course the joint venture and having his name and you being positioned as the publicity expert in the guerrilla marketing brand, huge brand in marketing, what'd that do for you?
Well, frankly, it made my career. You know, what's great about dreams, what I've noticed, is you got to keep writing them down to make them come true. And the funny thing is that I found a pad of notepaper that I had scribbled on about, I don't know, 4 years before that, that was called the ABCs of publicity. And I was going to do like a little notebook, workbook, you know, something like that, and create that. And that would have been wonderful. But, you know, I have to say, when this book was born, and it really is like a birthing process, by the way, to create a book. I mean, I wish I could say it was easy and simple, but it never is. And it's complicated and kind of expensive, you know, meaning you got to really be committed and know what you're getting into when it comes to doing a book. But I'm also a big believer in having a book because you can do it all kinds of ways these days and keep it a lot simpler.
Was there a deal where you had to, like, pay money to do it with him, or
not
at all?
No, the good news is I didn't, and it's been really a wonderful, powerful relationship with him. And the reality is that book became a bestseller right away. I mean, you know, here's the thing. If you're going to write a book about publicity, you better know how to do it, right? Well, we knew how to do it and, frankly, got a lot of publicity. And the book became a bestseller on Amazon right away because of joint ventures. And then my publisher asked me what every author wants to hear. And can you guess what that question is?
Do you want to go in other countries?
Well, I like that question.
What?
The other question is, what's your next book?
Oh, I got you, yes.
Yeah. The only other question I like better than that, by the way, is would you like to be on Oprah?
Did you get on Oprah?
No, I've never been on Oprah. I have a thought for a pitch for her, and frankly, I haven't put that much energy and attention into it. And I just want to say, Oprah is fabulous, and of course, tons of books would be sold, but I know a lot of people have been on Oprah, and guess what? What are you going to do with the other 364 days of the year?
About this book, so was it published internationally, or was it just published within the United States? And what were the book sales like? Can you give our listeners an idea? How many did you sell?
Well, here's the other great news about Guerrilla Publicity, because it did very well. It has been published in several languages, including Chinese, which I thought was great. And we've sold, gosh, probably about 80,000 at this point, which is magnificent. Actually.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
It's really good. And there's been over 1 million Guerrilla books sold, which is just amazing. So we're part of a larger brand and brand recognition, which is phenomenal. And then on top of that, guess what? Here I am 6 years later, and my publisher said, you know, that book is selling really well, Guerrilla Publicity, and we would like to pay you another advance and have you update the book with the newest of the new, pods, blogging, you know, podcasting, et cetera, all the technology that also relates to publicity now, and are you interested? I'm like, what do you mean? Yeah, of course I'm interested. And, you know, we wrote a next version of the book, which actually is being released this month, literally.
What's it called?
Guerrilla Publicity 2.
Very good. Good. That's obvious.
You know, when you have something that works, you don't necessarily want to change the name. And everybody loves Guerrilla. They get it. They understand it. It's inexpensive ways to get your word out in a fast, simple way without spending a fortune. Who doesn't want that, right?
Right. From a publishing side, you're doing traditional publishing. Your other three books, are they through your traditional publisher or are you self-publishing anything?
Yes. So what happened after Networking Magic, great news is Networking Magic came out. Let me just tell you that book went number one on Barnes & Noble for 3 weeks in a row.
Self-published?
No, same publisher as Guerrilla Publicity, which is Adams Media.
All right. Did you do those promotions where you get the joint ventures and everyone sends it out to their list and gets all the bonuses? Is that how you get number one status?
That's how I did it. And now this was a couple years ago when it was even easier to do that, frankly, meaning it was about 3 years ago and that the whole joint venture thing was just kind of starting and everybody was into it and we're very blessed and went number one literally several weeks in a row because we had big lists and big names. So that helped, meaning There was joint ventures, alliances, and lots of bonus gifts. And I call it the bribe for buying our book. You got great bonuses. So it was a great deal. Who could say no?
But it was worth it. Going number one and being able to say number one, that's worth it, right?
Huge. And especially on Barnes & Noble, what was great about getting number one on Barnes & Noble, see, I learned a lesson. And, you know, listen, we're all learning all the time. And even though I've been in this business 22 years now, I am constantly learning, not only from, you know, my own, but then I get to share it with all my clients and, frankly, help them and watch what they do right and wrong, too, you know? So I think we're always learning. But one of the things that I learned from Guerrilla Publicity and the publicity campaign, first of all, I spent a lot more money on that campaign. It's a first book. It's like your first baby. You take a lot of pictures, you know?
And what'd you spend? How much? Oh, this is on your first book, right?
Yeah, I spent probably close to $15,000.
Realistically, my listeners, a lot of them studied traditional publishing. They know you don't make a lot of money on a royalty. What do you make on a book? We all know it's not a lot.
Here's the thing I need to say. Don't write a book to get rich, because it ain't going to happen unless you're Donald Trump or Larry King or somebody very, very well known.
Yeah, there's a much larger strategy behind a book.
Much larger strategy. And the strategy is name recognition, and it's a big business card. Approximately, I make 30 cents a book when it's a split co-authorship. With my third book, because I'm my own author and no one else, it's, a whopping maybe $1 a book.
For more exclusive interviews on business, marketing, advertising, and copywriting, go to Michael Senoff's hardtofindseminars.com. Your third book, because are you self-publishing the third one? Or
I am not. So Networking Magic, I built a lot of momentum and good name recognition and the big P word, which is platform. See, now I have platform. What does that mean? It means people know my name. I'm out there. I speak in front of groups all the time, all around the world. And that makes a world of difference and help people that way. So guess what? Now all of a sudden I have what's called platform. That makes you, well, frankly, favorable to a publisher. So McGraw-Hill has actually published my third book, Get Noticed, Get Referrals. And I'm delighted for that. And I will tell you, that still took time to get the deal. It still takes a lot of energy and focus. It still costs a lot of money. And because I work with writers, I don't actually want to write all my own stuff. It's too much work. It's not my passion. It isn't my genius. But I'm really big on having team help out, really big on team. So I think that's really a big difference. And frankly, guess what? Get Noticed, Get Referrals also went number one on Amazon Business Books. It went number one on Barnes & Noble Business Books. And it went number two on the whole Barnes & Noble list. The only reason it didn't go number one is because there was a fiction book ahead of me, which just drove me crazy. But, you know, truthfully, it's still number one in this whole genre on the whole list. That was amazing.
That's great. Did your publisher set up these joint ventures to get it to go number one, or did you have to do that?
I wish I could tell you they did, Michael, but no. The answer is no. I'm going to tell you, and I'm going to share with your listeners, if you write a book and you are blessed to be published by a publisher, meaning what's called a mid-level publisher, like an Adams Media, who I thought was great and it was a delight to work with them, or it's one of what they call the Seven Sisters, the big publishers, Simon & Schuster, Harper, McGraw-Hill, Prentice Hall, Bantam, etc., Penguin. No matter what or who you're on, here's the deal. You are responsible for your own publicity. You are responsible for generating sales and visibility and results. And the quicker and the sooner anyone listening to this realizes that, they're going to have a lot more fun and a lot better time. You know, I ran into a woman yesterday, and same thing, she's got a book out on her publisher. You know, I was saying to her, listen, you got to know, you are fully responsible for your results. I'm working with a woman right now, her book's due out in January 2009, and we have started publicity 4 months ago because, you know, her publisher, who is Penguin, by the way, and a big publisher, the book about Winston Churchill, and you know what? They're not even talking to her about publicity yet. And as far as I'm concerned, you better be starting your publicity way before you need it. That's not only for books. That's for your business. That's for your products. That's for your services. It's not a wait kind of thing. You know, you're always doing publicity. If you're in business, if you're creating anything out in the world, guess what? You got to be doing publicity.
Let me ask you this. Are there any warnings you'd give our listeners about publishers? Do they try and make you buy a garage full of books to work with them?
No, actually, they don't usually do that. That's a myth. The only time you have to, quote, unquote, buy books is when you actually do self-publish. Like, I have the option of buying all my books. I buy them at a discount, anywhere from 40 to 50% is typically what the publisher gives you, which is not a whopping discount, I might add. And all of the items in your deals are negotiated. So one of my warnings is, frankly, get someone to negotiate your deal, if you are with a publisher, who knows what the heck they're talking about. I have to tell you, I would never negotiate a deal for myself. I don't know what I'm looking for. I don't know the clauses that are key. You know, even the part about how many free books I got in the beginning, that was negotiated.
Who do you find to negotiate your publishing deal? An agent?
Yes, I have an agent. So typically you can get an agent. If for some reason you're offered a deal, you know, like for instance, every year I go to what's called Book Expo America, and I represent a number of clients and just help them look for book deals. But I'm not an agent. So one thing I would do is, A, give them to an agent who would charge them an hourly fee to help them. That's a good possibility. Or B, have them work with a lawyer, which actually I don't think they need to do. Typically, you can hire an agent for an hourly fee. And because they've been in the business and know what clauses to look for, they'll look for all the clauses.
What are just a couple important things that your agent's going to negotiate for that's important that they were able to provide for you?
First big thing is royalty. What's your royalty amount? Is it escalating after you sell a certain amount of books? Does it escalate up, which would be a nice thing to do, obviously. I mean, if you're a proven commodity, so to speak, and you have book sales happen, and you can make book sales happen, your royalty should be going up after, let's say, 10,000 books are sold and maybe 25,000 books. So usually they have what's called escalating royalties.
Did you get that on your books?
I did.
And that encourages you to promote, too.
Absolutely. And then, of course, you can negotiate for them actually doing some of the publicity for you. You know, like how much marketing are they responsible for? I like to get it in the contract. Now, I'm going to tell you, this is probably the hardest thing, and they dance around the subject like they're just experts in dancing around this subject, and frankly don't often commit to a lot, again, unless you're a huge name and they've given you a huge advance. But those days are gone, my friends, unfortunately, and most people are getting smaller advances and, frankly, they're just happy to have contracts. So I think the main things to look at are your royalties, whether or not they're going to give you any publicity or / marketing help, and if they are, please put it in the contract. And the third and final thing, in my opinion, well, there's lots of stuff, but I know this sounds small, but discounts on the books, you know, like my publisher was only going to give me 40%. I said, no way, you know, because I actually buy lots of books. I buy them. Since I give seminars all over the country, I buy my own books.
So what'd you negotiate?
Whopping 50. We tried to get 60. They wouldn't do it. Some of my friends get 60%, depends on the publisher. You know, after a certain amount of time, they might go to 60. And then, you know, even something small like free books. You know, when my book was published, I got a case full of books to be able to use how I want. But I also negotiated up front that anyone I use for publicity purposes, you know, like I have somebody on the phone for me an hour a day who does publicity, and anyone who calls or needs books, that they will send them out, which saves me a lot of money and a lot of time.
Oh, that's nice. So the book you sent me, your publisher sent?
Absolutely.
Good job. You mentioned your book is like your calling card. And first, just answer this quickly. Would you be where you are now if it weren't for any of your books?
You know, it's always an interesting question. I would tell you probably not, you know, honestly. As much as I'd like to say, oh, yeah, and I am good at what I do and I deliver good results. But, you know, here's the truth. A book is major. It establishes a credibility like nobody's business. Immediately, my reputation and what I call fame level increased significantly. I have, most importantly, that P word, platform, and building platform and gaining recognition are very important. But not everybody needs a book, Michael. I mean, it's quite a path to take. It is. It's no small task. And I think if you do want a book, you have to be aware that there's a lot involved and that it's not always necessary. You know, like you could have a workbook. You asked me about what else I have. Well, guess what? Besides my four books, I have 5 audio products, workbooks, I have a set of flashcards. I have other merchandise that I then package together and put in what I call my superstar package so that when I speak, people can buy. I have 9 products now, and they buy them together in what I call a superstar package.
But the book is the bridge in a lot of ways to those products.
Yes.
Into your website, into your credibility, and all of that.
Yes, but you know what? I encourage people, start where you can. Start with an audio product, 30 minutes. That's easy. Anyone can do an audio these days. Start with a workbook that you get reproduced at Kinko's. Start with an article. You can start with anything. I do encourage, though, start with something. Get a product, whether it's an audio, a workbook, a set of flashcards, whatever it is. But create a product to represent you that's solid, that somebody can take away and have. You know, for instance, I was working with a real estate broker, and one of the things she put together was a manual called How to Buy Real Estate in San Francisco. How fabulous. Now, the truth is she actually gives that to her clients, but guess what? Sometimes she even sells it for $167, which is the price she decided. Hey, she's making a lot more money selling that manual than I am selling my books. Can you get that?
Let me ask you this. Tell me your strategy, and is there anything that would inhibit you from implementing the strategy of call to actions within the pages of your book? For instance, listing your website, offering a free report on your website, having your phone number within the book, selling Jill Lublin within the books, and getting your readers, which you most likely probably don't get the names and addresses of the people who buy your books, but getting them from your book to your website. Have you implemented any strategy within that?
Well, let me just tell you, if you don't, and you aren't, you're wasting your time.
Is it something you have to negotiate with your publisher?
You know, you have to ask for that. With my latest book, McGraw-Hill, I did get a page in Get Notice, Get Referrals. It's the last page, and there's three things I actually had to negotiate. One was a full-page bio, believe it or not. The other was a picture on the back of my book. And the third thing, which I just told them they were going to do, when you open my book, I gave them the Crash Course in Publicity sheet that people can sign up with. So that's great, meaning it's all about the Crash Course in Publicity. That's one page in the book. Another page in the book has a Get Notice downloadable product where I interview experts, other experts across the country. And so when you buy Get Notice, you'll see at the last page it says, hey, if you're interested to learn more about how to get notice, go visit, you know, and then they give the website for that. How wonderful.
All right, so you had to negotiate all that. Was it tough or not tough?
No, I just said, listen, this is what I want to do. Is this okay? And they weren't opposed to it. Now, I don't know that every publisher is like that, and I'm just looking at my book right now as we talk. So the truth is, though, that was a last-minute insert. But the last page is to download a free audio program with Jill and other experts on how to get notice, get referrals, and be influential, and then they give a specific website for that.
Well, see, I love it because that's exactly what I do is interview experts. Who are some of your interviews with, or what type of interviews are they? Who are you interviewing?
Well, I've interviewed other PR experts. I interviewed, let's say, the founder of eWomen Network. I've interviewed so many people I can hardly remember.
And do you sell that as a product?
You know, I haven't sold it. I just put it on a free audio program. And people can download it when they buy my book.
Oh, I see. As an incentive.
So that's been really good. The other thing that's in my book is I have a whole sheet that says get $50,000 worth of free publicity, and it's all about my consulting program. And that takes up two pages in my book.
That's great.
Yeah, and then it gives my website and my email and my phone, of course.
Now, is this book, your most recent one, hit the market yet?
Yes, it has.
Have you generated any consulting, any course sales from this book that you've already noticed yet?
Yes, I have, and that, and I'm still doing two interviews a day because we're lucky enough to be in a wild political environment. And I want to make a point right now about using what I call everything you've got, okay? Because I'm really big on use everything you've got. That means every part of your life, right? So I write a new book called Get Notice. I mean, that's nice. And the truth is, what does everyone want to talk about? Politics and the economy. So one of the ways I've been getting all these interviews is because I'm a branding expert who can talk about the branding of these presidential candidates, who can talk about Sarah Palin and is she good for John McCain's brand, who can talk about Michelle Obama and how is she for Barack, or Cindy McCain. It's hysterical to me because you just got to know, I'm not an expert in politics. And see, what most people do is, okay, well, I'm sorry, I can't talk about that because I don't know about politics. Well, guess what? I know about branding. I know about how to be influential, and I know and have opinions about one person's brand is good or bad for another. Here's another example of using what I call everything you've got and always saying yes. Always. You have to always say yes. When the media says, can you talk about this, you say yes. So, for example, about 2 years ago, I got asked by the largest Catholic radio station to do a one-hour interview, which is a long interview, a one-hour interview. It reached 40,000 listeners, this radio. And they said, Jill, can you talk about Super Bowl advertising? Well, you know, Michael, I just laughed because, well, frankly, there are three problems with this. Number one, I'm not Catholic. Number two, I know nothing about the Super Bowl. And number three, I'm not an expert in advertising.
Did they spring it on you before or during the interview?
No, before. These things are usually always set up before, but, you know, sometimes you don't know what you're talking about until you're on air. Usually you're advised what you will be speaking about. In this case, they wanted me specifically to talk about Super Bowl advertising on a Catholic radio station. You know, so what's my answer? Yes, of course I'll talk about that. Sure, I'd love to. Let me just tell you, Google is a beautiful thing. And I did some Google research and got a few tips and things to talk about. And anytime he asked me something I didn't know, I did what's called a bridging technique and talked about my main message, like what we were talking about at the beginning of the interview. And that was a fabulous interview and actually got me a tremendous amount of exposure that had I not said yes, I would have lost. I mean, this morning on that 50,000-watt radio station, I was talking about Saturday Night Live and parody related to politics. I'm an expert on publicity. You know, that's basically what I do. But I do strongly feel that you must always be saying yes. I'll give you another example. On my second book, Networking Magic, at Valentine's Day, we do a huge campaign, typically, about how to network for romance. Now, that Networking for Romance campaign got me onto NBC TV, got me on multiple radio interviews, and actually a number of TV spots. What was so funny is one day, another NBC affiliate, they had me on the air, and all of a sudden they started asking me about internet dating. Now, I had been warned before I was going on that I was going to be speaking about that. And again, you know, Google is a wonderful thing. I did a little bit of research and sounded smart for a moment, because here's the truth. I was only on that station for 3.5 minutes. It was a live TV interview in studio, only me on camera, which was amazing. So, you know, had I said, you know, I really don't know much about internet dating because I haven't done it, well, you know, I would have lost a tremendous opportunity in a major market to be on an NBC affiliate.
Yeah, you just say yes and you go do the research and become the expert and tie it into what you're doing.
Absolutely. And again, remember, anyone can sound smart or smart enough for, let's say, a whopping 3.5 minutes.
All right, look, everyone listening, they want to know, how do I get the stations to call me? How do I get the interview? Give me some quick tips because we're running out of time. How am I going to get noticed to get the media to call me and say, hey, I want to interview you?
Well, the first thing you have to do is prepare a press release.
How many pages?
One page. That's it. One page, 4 paragraphs. We actually have templates of them in Guerrilla Publicity, but one page, 4 paragraphs. That's it. Simple, simple. And that press release is made up of what we talked about at the beginning of the call, so go back and listen, which is problem solution. It should only focus on problem solution. In the 4th paragraph, then you can drive people to your website and you can tell them how great you are in your bio. So the 4th paragraph should be your bio.
All right, give the website where the templates can be seen right now.
Well, if you go to JillLublin.com, 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 you can order Guerrilla Publicity or you can do it through any bookstore, any way that works in terms of getting and being able to do a press release.
All right, there's lots of templates we could look at.
Absolutely, within Guerrilla Publicity.
Okay, I've got my press release. How do I distribute it? Do I mail it? Do I fax it? Do I package it in a Federal Express envelope? What is the most effective way, or do I email it?
Okay, 2 things on that. One is, I advise you do both what I call high touch and high tech. So high touch means you actually make calls to the media, and you can get a prepared list of media, then they can actually send out the press release for you. It's called Cision, C-I-S-I-O-N, Cision.com. You can actually buy a media list that's already done. They will send it out for you, and then you follow up, which is key to success.
How will they send it out? In what manner?
They'll typically send it out via email, and I think that's actually usually the best way.
Is that what reporters and the media producers, is that where they're receiving most of their ideas for stories, through email?
It tends to be, and, you know, reporters and producers, like all of us, like our communications in different ways. Most of them tend to receive it that way. Some of them like faxes, and occasionally, yes, mail works, but, you know, in these days, tends to be email. What's important in this, though, is that the subject line be compelling. So you don't say press release. You state the problem. You give a compelling focus, but the subject line is key. Now, let me give you the other way to send a press release out, because most of my clients do what I call high touch and high tech.
When you send the press release in the email, is it sent as an attachment or as HTML within the email?
Thank you for asking. Please put it within the email. Don't do attachments. I'm not big on attachments, and neither is the media. Why do you think they're not big on it? Because, frankly, it's just one more button to push, one more thing to do, and again, I'm going to underline, nobody needs more things to do these days.
All right, what's your other way?
And the other way is send it out over what's called PR Web Direct. They have multiple services, some are even free, where you can get the press release sent out from anywhere from $80 to $250 PR Web Direct, and I think even one of their services is free, although in that one you get what you pay for. I'd rather you pay a little something and get widely distributed. This reaches about 24,000 media outlets. Believe me, you never would have been able to do that yourself.
Does it work? Have you used these services?
I absolutely do every time.
You do. Tell me your biggest success story as far as getting free publicity and equate a dollar sign of what that would cost you if you had to pay for it.
Oh, wow. Okay. Let me just think about that for a minute. Well, I will tell you, let's just use me for a minute. I was on an NBC affiliate in Sacramento. I remember when Guerrilla Publicity came out. And had I paid for that time, that was 3.5 minutes of airtime, it would have been approximately $75,000. I've also appeared in Women's Day, okay? If I had paid for that time in Women's Day, meaning that mention, even though it was like 2 lines, by the way, it wasn't a lot. See, you don't always need a lot, but even that much would have cost, at that time, 4 years ago, $35,000.
Yeah, what was the 2 lines in Women's Day?
It was basically about my volunteer work that I've been doing with an 80-year-old woman. The whole article actually was about what they called my acts of kindness. Remember, I said use everything you've got. So I volunteered with an 80-year-old woman and one day responded to a query that I thought was really good about looking for acts of kindness. I thought, well, I volunteer. I'm going to submit this story. And next thing I know, we were one of the 3 pairs featured on this December issue of Acts of Kindness. How wonderful. And then in the article, though it wasn't anything about my work or my books or my speaking or anything, what they did was they included my website. Now, you know, again, you cannot pay for that kind of advertising.
Do you remember when the article hit and did you notice activity on your website?
I did notice some. I'll tell you, you know, my thing is it's always the story I'm most proud of because, you know, it's a personal story and it was powerful. Let me share something that happened with one of my clients, which was amazing. She sent out a press release over PR Web Direct. Well, let me just add, okay, so she sent it out. One reporter picked up her article, one, okay, out of, you know, 24,000. But guess what? They did a huge article, and she calls me in a panic. I'm like, what's the matter, Bonnie? She says, Jill, I got 150 calls. I don't know what to do. I can't handle this. I'm like, so what's the problem? Okay, she got one article. Hear that. One article and 150 queries. Now, is that a great way to get prospects?
You know, what was she selling?
She has a debt management consolidation company, and that's what she sells.
Wow. All right, let's talk about what are you selling? What do you have that my listeners can learn from on your website? Tell me some of your wares.
Absolutely, thank you. Well, I do consulting and can help people in any way on a one-to-one basis, and that would be a great thing. And you can go to jilllublin.com, JILLLUBLIN.com.
Now, I did see that. Is that one-on-one with you on the phone?
That is, absolutely. One-to-one, no kidding. I hold your hand the whole way, step by step, for every part of what you need to get out there, including strategies that will have other people on the phone for you without you having to do the calling or hire an expensive PR firm. So that's been great. And I'll tell you, I also developed, for those who couldn't afford the consulting, something I call a crash course in publicity. It's a one-day course and an opportunity to be with me, also really one to few, meaning I never let more than 20 in. So it's an intimate course, and there's limited seating. And what I do is roll up your sleeves. We actually write the press release that I've been talking about today. We write your bio. We create your message so that you can speak it in your sleep, no kidding, and make it easy. I help you create that ooh-ah factor so that you can easily create and get press. And then I show you all the media lists and where to get them. I actually media train you, and it's a very dynamic day that also has a networking component at lunch where you get to make a request, so it's very powerful, and give you all the tools and tactics that publicity agencies usually charge you, $40,000 to $50,000 for. So it's one day, it's all over the country and Canada. In fact, I'm doing one in Canada coming right up. So they are all over the country with new locations added all the time, so if you don't find one there, please ask. Again, you can go to jilllublin.com, JILLLUBLIN.com. to find them and the cities nearby. You can also call me in my office at 415-883-5455. And I do want to say that anyone listening today, my publicity course is usually $795. And what I'd like to do, because you've been listening today, is offer it to you for $495. That's a great significant savings, especially when you realize that you're going to walk out with 4 documents done. That's really key.
Explain that.
Meaning, you actually walk out with a bio done, biography of who you are. You walk out with your message complete and understood and written down. You leave with media lists, where to get them, how, and how much they are, as well as a press release. We actually do the template in the course and give you some time to write it out so that it's actually done, as opposed to creating anxiety thinking about getting it done. So it's all the basics that you need that are key elements for media success. And also, if you mention that you are on this call, I'll let you bring a friend for free.
Well, thank you.
$495, full-day course, and bring a friend for free. Please mention you are on this call, because that is an offer.
Thank you. That's very generous.
You're welcome.
I got to ask you, on your favorites, on your Internet Explorer or whatever web browser, what are some other great Internet tools that are going to give my listeners leverage in doing publicity? You've already mentioned PR Web. You mentioned that other source for media lists. Any other great websites or services that can automate my lead generation for stories and publicity?
Yes, there's three others I want to mention. One is Haro, H-A-R-O, Haro.com. It stands for Help a Reporter Out. It's free, at least at this moment. I don't think it's going to be free for long, but hey, jump on while the going's good.
What is Haro? What is it?
It's called Help a Reporter Out, and what it is reporters are looking for leads all the time.
For stories?
For stories. They're looking for stories all the time, and they're looking for great people who can be the expert for that story. So as far as I'm concerned, the people listening here are all experts, no matter what your business, and Help a Reporter Out gives you great ways to get interviewed quickly. So that's an excellent resource.
Okay, that is good.
Next is PRLeads.com. That's a colleague of mine, Dan Janelle, has created something called PR Leads, which also has queries that come to you every day. Remember I told you earlier I was in Women's Day? Well, I was in Women's Day because I'm a subscriber. I'm giving you the things I subscribe to, that I pay for, that I buy. One of them is PRLeads.com. Make sure you tell him you came through me, and he gives you some kind of bonus that I don't remember right now, but you ask him, and he'll tell you, and he gives you some kind of deal. So that's a great thing. I love PRLeads.com. The other one is ExpertClick.com, another way to distribute press releases. And again, please mention my name. You do get some kind of discount. Those two are pay-for services. I pay for and subscribe to both of them, and they're all excellent. ExpertClick, you actually submit your press release, and it goes out over the Internet, and then they give you a report, how many clicks are there, how many click-throughs. So that's another really great source.
Thank you. I want you to leave me with one of your biggest mess-ups in your whole PR experience, and then also, what mistake do you see most, I guess, amateurs trying to do in generating free PR?
Okay, well, I actually had a PR agency years ago, and that's how I've learned how to do this, because I actually did it. I was in the trenches, making the calls, talking to reporters. I have done the doing. And one time, I had John Densmore as a client. John Densmore was the drummer for The Doors.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I had the blessing of working with some great people, including Dr. Timothy Leary, Ram Dass, John Densmore, and more. But anyway, so John Densmore, he was booked on a station out of Seattle, Washington, radio station. It was 9 o'clock in the morning, which, by the way, for a rock and roller, is early, 9 a.m., and what happened was the radio station called up the hotel where he was staying and asked for John Denver.
Oh.
Well, guess what? They never got John Denver because John Denver wasn't staying there, and John Densmore called me up, well, a little agitated, which wasn't fun, about 25 minutes later going, hey, you know, what happened? I don't know. I called the front desk, and they said that some radio station called asking for John Denver. Well, was that supposed to be for me? Anyway, we were able to fix it, but I will tell you, these things happen. So, you know, again, when you started the call, you said make sure you're prepared. Why do you think I go over these things now? Because it's making sure that they have your name right, making sure all of that, that really is key. And I think that's really an important key, is always be prepared and know that some things go wrong. And I'll tell you, things go wrong. This morning I told you I was on a 50,000-watt radio station. Guess what? They were supposed to call me at 9:15 in the morning. They didn't call me at 9:15. At 9:25, I called them. And she said, you know, I am so sorry. We got so swamped by all the political things that are happening. We're going to put you on the air in 3 minutes. Are you ready? And I'm like, yes, of course I'm ready. But had I not called called in and not been the one that was proactive in that, I would have lost the interview.
Okay. Biggest mistake you see most amateurs making when trying to get free publicity, then show them the solution and direct them to your website one more time.
Absolutely. Well, the biggest mistake is that you focus too much on your business, your product, as opposed to focusing on giving value and benefit to the readers, the viewers, the listeners. Please keep that in mind. Your focus is to help other people solve a problem, and that's where you stay focused. When you stay focused on that, you will get a lot more media. That, and please tie into the trends that are happening right now. You know, how can you tie into what's key out there in the media right now? That's going to win you major points, and that'll get people talking about your business quick. So the way to find out more and have me help you with anything you need, please feel free to call me at 415-883-5455 or go to my website, jilllublin.com. That's J-I-L-L, L-U-B as in boy, L-I-N as in Nancy, jilllublin.com.
Thank you, Jill. This has been great. I hope you've enjoyed this interview with Jill Lublin. I hope you'll use some of the ideas and some of the tips for getting more publicity for your own business products and services. For more information, you may visit Jill's website at www.jilllublin.com. That's JILLULUBLIN.com. Thanks for listening. For more interviews like this, go to hardtofindseminars.com.